industry for always changing the way how customers are operating and conducting their businesses, and it's relevant in discrete, but also in the process industries to a large degree.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Rafferty. Hi, everyone. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Rafferty, and this is one of these series of these podcasts which are themed around Industry 4.0. My guest on the show today is Claudius. Claudius, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, Tom. My name is Claudius Link. I'm the head of SAP Digital Manufacturing, and my teams work on solutions to enable agile, highly efficient and autonomous manufacturing systems. Hopefully we provide also best-in-class end-to-end processes for our customers in that context.
Cool. So tell me, Claudius, first of all, this is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and we're on talking about Industry 4.0, and you come to it from a kind of lens of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. How are we helping our manufacturing customers, or even let's go even broader, how is Industry 4.0 helping manufacturing organizations?
That's a big topic. So when we started to set up recently a new program, Industry 4.now, in SAP, we were actually also discussing about the focus and scope of Industry 4.0. And Industry 4.0 has many notions and addresses many areas of the business. It started all off in the plant, in the factory, with all the digitization and setting up of cyber-physical systems and having smart products, smart assets, all of that notion. But it actually, when in our discussion, we saw it was spanning more areas. It span into the logistics. It span into the services business. So it has a very broad notion. So in my unit, like you said before, we are focusing on manufacturing, and this is actually the core piece of our Industry 4.0 strategy, because there is where the industrial change is based, and where the automation technologies or operational technologies and the information technologies are coming together. And Industry 4.0 is changing the way how customers are operating and conducting their businesses. And it's relevant in discrete, but also in the process industries to a large degree. So traditionally, there was a lot of discussion about how can I increase productivity, and automation technologies have always driven that productivity gain. But now with the evolution of more and more smart assets, smart products, data and information is becoming much more critical to drive that productivity and operational processes for our companies, for our customers. And with that new level of insight and data that is being acquired from the assets, from the processes via the sensors and all the digital technologies, quality levels and productivity levels and transparency can be tremendously improved.
Okay, and sorry, were you going to say something else?
For now, so need to think.
Okay, no problem. If we think of typical customers, typical manufacturing organizations, what are the big advantages they're seeing from this shift to Industry 4.0?
So today many companies have already made Industry 4.0 a cornerstone of their digital transformation. And we have worked actually also with McKinsey, and they did a study. They found out that many customers, two-thirds of the customers, have Industry 4.now or the digital transformation part of their strategy. But there's only a small portion of those customers that run Industry 4.0 and digital transformation at scale and are able to really drive values at scale. Many of the companies today are still in the piloting phase and testing out various use cases in their environments, and they have a difficulty to take all these pilots and scale them and bring actually those projects together. But there is a huge business value that is and potential that is predicted by McKinsey, and this is where all customers are going after. So the idea is to basically with an increasing level of digitalization of the machines and data collections, that you can get information from the shop floor, from your operations, bring that in context with manufacturing execution data, process data, business process data, and by the increased level of transparency, you would get insight to better orchestrate the manufacturing operations. So there can be several examples. The question is, how can processes become more predictive or more intelligent? How do I get better insight from the data? How can processes be automated? One of the other aspects is with an increasing demand or supply volatility or increasing individualized products and smaller lot sizes, you also require much more agility and flexibility on your shop floor. And with that increased agility, there is also a much increased level of coordination required to orchestrate the material supply flow, the production supply flow. So much more decisions have to be taken to support your operations. The question is now, how do I leverage and trigger all these processes? So I have several aspects of in that context. So one is, how do I first get that insight? So how do I connect to my machines? How do I capture the data from the various assets, from the processes, from the products? There's a notion about the whole digital thread that is capturing the data throughout the process to see how products are the evolution of products from their invention to through their production to their servicing, and how do I bring now all these data sources in context. And one of the top cases that is quite old and well known already is around predictive maintenance. It's a very very straightforward case. So you're connecting a machine, you're getting information about the stability about the asset health of your machine. So you understand the behaviors when the machine is operating well or not so well. And that with that insight, you try to predict how the machine is gonna evolve and when there is maintenance activities required. That is one of the well known and already standardized processes that are out there. But same principles can be applied also in other contexts. Can be applied for quality prediction when it's what are the product qualities? When do I? How do I need to react? How do I need to influence my processing to ensure higher levels of productivity? And there are various means how I can measure and address that. Machine learning, artificial intelligence are all very important aspects to learn first of all in that process, and also to influence in real time the decision making as I'm operating. Just okay. to name a few. So there's more. So like if I just may give you another example, which is around this production logistics, material supply in production. Assuming now I have much smaller lot sizes and configured products, I then need to make sure that all my components are at the right work station at the right point in time. Now, take it a little further and say, okay, I don't have any longer a linear assembly line with a static static transportation and logistics in a linear way, but in a more flexible matrix production, and then I have multiple alternative resources that can conduct the work process. So all of a sudden, if I have now every individual order with its individual configuration at a different workstation that is, by the way, also decided in the last minute where it's being operated, I need to coordinate now also the material supply in an effective way, so that I can not only decide where should a product be produced, but also that the components are there at the right point in time. So that requires that manufacturing operations or manufacturing execution and the warehouse, the inventory operations need to go hand in hand. So I need to coordinate manufacturing execution systems and the warehouse systems. And by the way, the transportation systems that are connecting all these elements in a very effective dynamic way. And that cannot be done manually by someone who is sitting on a planning board. That requires some intelligence and data-driven processes that support someone who is coordinating that. And that brings me actually also to another point that is very often underestimated in an industry for our context, which are the people that are operating the shop floor. So a lot of the discussion in Industry 4.0 is all about automation, machines, smart devices, smart assets. But we should not underestimate and forget that there is a workforce out there. And even in a high degree of automation, there will be still people that are operating plants and facilities. May it be a worker that needs to get information in a digital way in terms of intelligent work instructions, maybe supported by augmented reality, virtual reality components to make it very effective. But there is also a supervisor that needs to get supported to react more quickly on unforeseen events, and decision support are required so that you can drive actions as we are going and not after the fact when the shift is over. So getting this more real-time decision support on the shop floor becomes more important. And then even you can take it further and say, okay, now I want to prepare for the unforeseen. So all the notions around how can I simulate my operations will become much more relevant, and the data that we are collecting will be the basis to conduct those simulations. And last but not least, the plant and the operations will not act stand alone as just the manufacturing functions. As we said before, material supply need to be coordinated, capacities need to be coordinated. So all changes need to link back to the enterprise system, so back to the supply chain. So any major deviations need to be responded back to a supply chain planning system. And any change that comes from a last minute from a supply chain planning system need to be communicated and introduced into the manufacturing operations. And that's what we are considering under this whole notion about concurrent planning, concurrent supply chain. And here is where Industry 4.0 plays, from my perspective, a major role, that all of these components from the machine to the supply chain systems, they run all interconnected and flawless together in a coordinated way. And there is no silo and no system break in between, so that that information and data can flow across all these various decision-making processes connected to the real actual operations on the physical machine. So now I hold on for a second.
cool. That sounds great. That sounds like it's possible for very large manufacturing organizations. But what about these smaller and more medium-sized manufacturers? Are they able to jump in onto this Industry 4.0 thing as well?
So it's a good question, first of all. It's an old discussion about do smaller companies, smaller enterprises have maybe more simple processes and do not require complex systems. But actually, this is not the case. Smaller, large enterprises processes can be as complex in any size of businesses. The products are getting smarter. The assets become smarter. So it's relevant for all sizes of business, I would say.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Okay, cool, good. With all the advantages that are going to be conferred on organizations as they become more and more Industry 4.0, what is going to be the kind of forcing factor to get organizations to start on a project, do you think? Some are at different points in their journey, and it is a journey. It's not a destination. It's an evolution, really. But what do you think are the things that are going to get companies to start on this journey?
The starter is always the value that that companies get out of it, but it's also sometimes a necessity, because sometimes your customers are asking you to provide that service. So, and that may provide you the business case and the value that that comes out of that. So it's not. I think it's not a matter of if companies should do it. It's when, and when you are ready to get started. So I believe one of the factors for many customers is also to change process. So when is my workforce ready to adopt that? When can I introduce a change? Is this a right time, because I'm in a top running business period and I'm already at 100% capacity, or is this a business time when I can introduce a change without compromising ongoing business? So it's a timing question. It's a time of readiness of the workforce and the talent that I have educated in my enterprise. And then you need to decide when you can start. I think the technologies, which could be in the past the limiting factor. So there's a lot of variety of what you can use to get started. But now, as we are maturing in technologies, the technology is ready, and there are standards out there, and there are best practices out there, like the predictive maintenance example that we had before. This is well known, understood, let's do it. There are other processes that are already standardized, and we know how to do it and how to get value out of it, so they are ready to go. So in that regard, it's, I would say, and give us an advice: whenever you're ready, and whenever you start to embark the journey, and hopefully it's rather sooner than later, then get started and build on a long-term vision and strategy that you want to end up with in a on a platform that allows you to scale in the long run rather than testing out individual one-off projects that don't come together.
Okay. And we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. So before we finish up, I just one final question, I guess, is what are the big challenges that organizations are seeing to, you know, that are holding them up from chasing this down big time? Is it budgetary? Is it inertia? Is it fear of change? Is it lack of skilled resources? Is it all of the above, depending on the organization? Is it regional? Or is it what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, my sense it's most cases not the lack of budget. There are many of the customers are looking for their business cases that they want to start off and get started with. And then it's a second level of change and readiness of the organization. So introducing the new technologies, there's a lot of skepticism in the workforce and in some enterprises to start the journey on digitization and automation. Everybody is a little bit afraid and feared of, oh, now I am introducing all this artificial intelligence, and do I make myself irrelevant in the long run? But these are some of the fear factors that you actively need to embrace, and I believe that this in the fourth industrial revolution will kill as many jobs as one may believe. It's in fact even improving jobs and just posing new challenges to the workforce to embrace the future.
Cool. Yeah, it's helping people be more productive. And I guess if you're more productive, you get a better feeling of well-being at the end of your working day.
Exactly, yes. And doing the and kind of automating the jobs that are repetitive and giving you an opportunity to use the technologies to do a better job and to do your job even better.
Okay, great. Claudius, as I said, we're coming towards the end of the podcast. Is there anything that I have not asked you that you wish I had?
Oh, there's so much to talk about. So I think we can keep going and drill into many dimensions. So we have not touched on the various technology layers underneath. May it be what are the various AI technologies? What is the right set of data lakes and predictive analytic tools or advanced analytics tools to use? How do I deal with that in the notion on cloud? Because all the new innovations, how can I get them quickly deployed and adopted? Some customers may consider the cloud, but others may be afraid of various reasons, stability, security reasons, and how can we address that? So there are a number of other flavors that we can touch upon, but I think we can do that in another podcast, or you have someone else on your show to refer to that. So I think all these aspects need to be considered from a customer perspective. But like I said before, I believe the technology is ready to support you in your digital transformation. There are many opportunities out there that are not all discovered yet. But it's a major disruptive change that is ahead of us, and it's better to start now than later.
Super. Claudius, if people want to know more about Claudius or about the technologies that we didn't cover today that will have to be followed up in other podcasts, or about Industry 4.0 or about manufacturing, where would you have me send them?
Yeah, so the best place to go is on sap.com. We have we are very prominent meanwhile on the front page with Industry 4.now. And here you will find also the latest white papers and video recordings on Industry 4.now, what SAP is thinking about. It's very worthwhile to read on the strategy paper that we are frequently updating and is it's published on sap.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn or get me on mail, claudius.link@sap.com. So happy to respond to all your inquiries.
Super. That's great. Claudius, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application to get new episodes right away as soon as they're published. And also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.